Morning and greetings in Christ's name this morning. It is indeed a privilege to be in the house of God with God's people. The message this morning, I think we'll look back to the book of Revelation where we were in Sunday school, Revelation chapter 2. And we're going to look at the first seven verses. My thoughts were drawn to characteristics of a first love church. Parts of this, I think, had preached most of what I'll be sharing this morning in our home congregation. I'm assuming you have studied this in the recent past, if you've been studying the book of Revelation in your Sunday school time. I don't think we'll spend a lot of time talking about Ephesus as a place. Ephesus was a important city, wealthy city, given to the worship of the goddess Diana. It was a wicked area right around the temple there, simply because if a criminal could get within bow shot of the walls of this temple, they were safe. And so you can imagine who congregated around that. And a significant business in the city of Ephesus there was making small portable idols to sell to visitors. I think we'll come across that a little bit later. But I think we'll read the first seven verses here in Revelation chapter 2. It says, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and thou canst not bear them which are evil, and hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." And he goes on to say how they hated the deeds of the Nicolaitans. Verse 7 says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." I believe these messages to the seven churches are messages to the church age. And so I believe this was written specifically for the believers who were in Ephesus at that time, it's for us today. And I believe this is a problem that we deal with in our churches, in our communities, in our own hearts, is the cooling off of our first love. Came across a quote, and I don't know who to credit for this, but says, "There are many who like Jesus, but few who love him. Many admire Jesus, but few adore him, because to love means to obey." There are many who like Jesus, admire him from a distance, but few that adore him, who really truly love Jesus. Our first love. Yesterday we were at a wedding, and I'm sure Brother Wendell's not a stranger in this congregation. But I was just, for those that didn't get to be there, I think a couple of you were, his grin was contagious. I can give testimony to that. He was excited. They both were. Radiant couple. Blessing to be there. Beautiful wedding. First love. But as time goes on in our marriages, our marriages, we find, you know, they take work. And I'm not sure what all is meant by that first love. But I remember when I gave my heart to the Lord, you know, I just felt like I could reach out and touch God. And I've had those feelings since that time as well. But there's been many times of significant periods of time where I felt like God is silent. And I'm not sure, you know, and looking back over our lives, we don't always understand why God brings us through what He's bringing us. But those times are special when we feel that first love, when we can just reach out and touch God, so as to speak. Well, there was a lot of good things happening in Ephesus. But the one, you know, we could talk a lot about the good things, but I want to focus here. He says, you're doing a lot of good things, you're doing a lot of things right, but that first love you've left. So I'd like to go back to the book of Acts and look at some of the church at Ephesus, some of their experiences, because John the Revelator, I believe, is telling them, and he's only writing down what Christ told him, but he's saying, you had it at one time. This first love, it's not some mystical thing. You had it. And another thing I want to notice before we go back to Acts is he says to do the first works. I think that is in I can't lay my eyes on it.
Verse 5,
thank you. He says, repent and do the first works. So it is, first love is not just some it's not just some mystical feeling that we're always groping for. We can never quite determine what it is. But it's something we can get a hold of. Back to Acts chapter 19. We're going to look at four characteristics of first love Christians. Four characteristics of first love Christians. Acts chapter 19, and I think we'll begin reading in verse 1. It says, it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples. Now, just to break in here a little, I don't know, but I'm assuming these disciples must have visited Jerusalem at some point. Somehow, because it appears to me, and I didn't look at this last night, but I believe I'm correct in saying this would be the first time that Paul visited. Actually, maybe it was a couple chapters before. But anyway, there were disciples here. You know, how the work started in Ephesus, I don't think we're completely sure. But there were certain disciples here. I'm assuming this is the group that had the first love. In verse 2, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? They said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be a Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied, and all the men were about 12. I'm assuming this is the beginning of the church at Ephesus that had that first love. The first thing that I want to notice about first love Christians is that they are teachable. They had left everything behind. They were humble in their beliefs. Now, 1 John talks about trying the spirits, and I'm not minimizing the importance of trying the spirits. But when they were presented with the truth, with a capital T, about Jesus Christ, who is truth, they believed it. Paul came to Ephesus. He found 12 men here, at least 12 people, who knew about the baptism of John some way or the other and had experienced the baptism of John, I believe. And he presented to them the complete truth, and they accepted it. I have a friend, I haven't had much contact with him in the last, they say, 15, 20 years. Worked with him at Faith Mission Brother David Finley. Some of you may know him. He's Hebron Mennonite Church in the Northeast affiliation. Came to know the Lord in prison, and when I worked with him at Faith Mission, he was a serious-minded young man, older than I was, and he was serious about studying the Bible. And I remember one evening we had a boys' Bible study, and he expressed his belief, and I don't even remember the details of it, but it had something to do with eternal punishment, eternal hell. One of the brethren said, no, that's not correct. And he opened his Bible and he showed him the truth. And I don't remember the details of the little point that was being discussed there, but I'll never forget David's response. He said, well, you're right. That's what the Bible says. And just to back up a little bit, I'm not going to say David was stubborn, but he was not a wishy-washy person. So we have to understand his personality there. But I'll never forget his response. He said, you're right, that's what the Bible says, that's what I believe. Thank you for showing me that. And I'll never forget that response. I thought, wow, you know, it really, really spoke to me. First love Christians say the Bible says it. I believe it and that settles it. They don't need any more discussion. Brother LJ pointed out to me some time ago, we don't need to say the Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it. He said it doesn't really change anything to the Bible whether we believe it or not. It's still God. If God says it, no matter whether I believe it or not, that does settle it. Well, it does make a lot of difference to our lives. Whether we believe it or not, because we wrest the scriptures to our own destruction. But first, Peter, or as, actually I believe it's 2 Peter chapter 3. I'd just like to turn to that scripture. It's an interesting picture here, I believe, of Christians who have lost their first love. 2 Peter chapter 3. I'm just going to read one verse there. And this is speaking about Paul's writing. Verse 16, as also in all his epistles, speaking to in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Now that word rest there is not a word we use a lot, but the Greek word there is strebloō, I believe it is, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. Strong says the definition of that word, and this is the only place where that word is used. But I think it's an interesting definition that Strong gives. He says to wrench, to torture by the rack, but only figuratively, to pervert rest is Strong's definition. That to torture by the rack is what caught my attention. I believe as our love for God cools off, we tend to rest the scriptures. We put those scriptures on, we understand the rack, I believe at least most of us older ones would probably understand those. You've been to a museum, you've seen these torture machines and so forth. But the purpose of the rack is to get the person who's being tortured, to say something that he does not want to say. And if we study even Anabaptist history, those torture chambers and those machines of torture were designed specifically to get people to recant. They had a faith in Jesus Christ. Those were used to attempt to get them to say something they did not want to say. And some were faithful. But if we take the scriptures and put it on the rack to torture the scriptures, to get the scripture to say what the scripture did not say. Now, God said exactly what he meant to say. And we cannot change that. But in our own minds and in our interpretations, I believe sometimes I have been guilty of putting scripture on the rack to get it to say something that it did not say. Someone has said that, and I believe this was talking about the Mennonite church, he said academia is to protect us from the Word of God, from the clear Scripture. Many stories of people who come across a particular Scripture, but then they ask their pastor about it, and the pastor has a different interpretation. Well, now, you have to understand that, and, you know, the interpretation goes on. First love Christians say, we want to know exactly what the Scripture says, and we want to follow that exactly. Dean Taylor often asked the questions, what if Jesus really meant what he said? And I believe it's our affluence at times that causes us to look at scriptures and say, you know, surely there is another interpretation here. We rest the scriptures to our own destruction when our love cools off. So the first point is, first love Christians are teachable. Back to Acts 19, verse 17. I'm not sure where we should break in here. Verse 17, I think we'll break in there. Acts 19, verse 17. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks, also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified, and many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. First love Christians are radical in dealing with sin. Albert Barnes says that the amount this silver, 50,000 pieces of silver, he says, of course it would depend on which coin was used, but he says somewhere between $8,500 and $25,000. So, you know, it's probably between the $6,000 and $10,000 range. Understand, these books could easily have been sold. Books were rare. But they confessed their sin, and they dealt with it immediately. There was no excuses and no, I'm trying to do better. And they are radical in getting rid of their temptations. Mark chapter 9, verse 43 to 48. And if thy hand offend thee, these are Jesus' words, if thy hand offend thee, cut it off, for it is better to enter life maimed and then having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. If thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life, to enter halt into life, than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. If thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. So first love Christians are radical in dealing with sin. Third point, first love Christians are mission minded. They reach out to those around them. They impact their communities. Acts chapter 19 and verse 20. we had read, how the word grew, or the word of God prevailed. It impacted that community. And you notice in verse 23, after these books were burned, they dealt with the sin in a radical way. In verse 23, at the same time, there arose no small stir about that way, talking about Christianity. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen. When he called together with the workmen of like occupation and said, "Sirs, ye know that by this craft we have our wealth. Moreover, ye see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods, which are made with hands." So that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised, and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth. And they go on to see there was a riot. But notice that they said, look, this church at Ephesus, and they singled out Paul. But I don't think there's any way that Paul could have had this kind of impact without many other Christians along beside him. And they're saying it's not just here at Ephesus that they're turning the world upside down, but it's throughout all Asia, and then they mentioned the whole world. This church was reaching out. This church was impacting those around them to the point that they were afraid that if they turn this many people away from the worship of Diana, their craft would be ruined. So First Love Christians reach out. They find meaningful ways in which to reach out. Someone said, if you want to fish, you need to be ready to clean them. And the Great Commission includes not only... it includes discipleship, teaching the all things, not only praying the sinner's prayer. But there's so much discipleship, and that's the stage that probably needs more love. We as Anabaptist people have unique opportunities to influence the world around us. 1 Corinthians 12 says there are varieties of gifts, but of the same Spirit. And I believe every congregation is blessed with a variety of gifts. But it's the same Spirit. It's the same goal. Impacting people for the kingdom of God. Verse 5 says, a varieties of service, different things to do, but the same Lord. Varieties of working, but it is the same God who inspires them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. The varieties of ways which we can spread the gospel. But First Love Christians will find the way to do that. Matthew 10, 41 and 42 says, he that receiveth the prophet in the name of the prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. It appears from these scriptures that those that are in the supporting roles are rewarded the same as those who are in more obvious positions. You know, the military has many people working together to carry out a mission. And those in the supporting roles, just as important as those on the front lines. But First Love Christians find a way to be involved. Last point, First Love Christians love God as well as the people of God. Acts chapter 20 and verse 16 says, to 18, we see there where the elders, Paul was not planning to stop in at Ephesus there. Verse 16 says, "For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend the time in Asia, for he hasted, if it were possible for him, to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus, and he called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons." And he goes on, these men love Paul. And Paul didn't have time to stop in, but these men ran to go see Paul. I don't remember now exactly how far they traveled, but they were willing to drop. They loved the people of God. In his farewell address to these elders then, and it goes on, Paul instructed them quite a bit there, and we won't read that, but dropping on down to chapter 20 and verse 36, "And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship." They loved the people of God. And the book of Ephesians, the main theme is unity of believers. Perhaps this church at Ephesus at that point was slowly cooling off in their devotion. And by the time the book of Revelation was written, they had lost that unity, that love for each other. We talked about a couple in their marriage, the first love. They will do some of the, you know, even a dating couple will do some of the strangest things just to be together, just to spend time with each other. You know, you find those ways. You'll figure out something. They will sacrifice. They don't worry. They just need to be together as time goes on. Relationships face challenges, and we need to continue to find ways. Because those relationships face challenges, hurts, responsibilities, etc. Anything else to choke that out? The Christian life, at the same time, we need to find ways to keep that first love alive. Our priorities show our heart. The things that we find our identity in, who we are right at the core, tells a lot about us. This verse in Psalms that I like says, "For thou wilt light my candle." You know, what makes your lights come on? What makes your eyes sparkle? Do you have the first love? First Corinthians 16, verse 13 to 15 says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints." So have you addicted yourself to the ministry of the saints? Now, we can do a lot of good things, as they did in Ephesus, and our hearts can be far from God. Jesus spoke to that in Matthew 15. He said, "Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." History tells us, and I'm not even sure where I found this, but it tells us that John returned to Ephesus after he would have been on the Isle of Patmos. So after the book of Revelation would have been written, this writer would have felt that John did in fact return back to Ephesus after the death of the emperor and died a natural death there. But this writer said that He was very frail. And if you just imagine the old man, John, said he had to be carried to the assemblies. And as it's special to have old people. And you want to, you make extra effort to speak to those. And they would ask him to speak. And obviously his health wouldn't allow him to preach long sermons. But it said that he would just say, "Children, love one another. Children, love one another." Just what he would say, it about sounded like every Sunday. And the people asked him, "Why do you keep saying the same thing? Every time we ask you to say a few words," they would say, "Children, love one another." And he said this, "This is what the Lord commands you. You do this, and this, if you do it, is sufficient." And then, of course, in 1 John, we see how John is depicting on how we are to show love. I think we'll just turn to those scriptures quickly. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. Says, "We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." And so he's saying, love one another, but love, you show that love in deed and in truth. Not just saying it, but in showing it, in feeling it. Ephesians 5 talks about husbands loving your wives. I think 25 says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." We understand that, those of us who are married. If you criticize my wife, you're criticizing me. And if we criticize the church, God's people, we're criticizing Jesus. We're bringing pain to his life. Love is the oil that keeps any relationship running smoothly. And we understand this as gears working together. They grind and they need oil to lubricate that. And that's, I think that's love that does that. Hebrews 13, chapter 3 and verse 13 says, "Exhort one another. Exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." And so I think that exhortation is needed. And a lot of times when that grinding happens, we tend to want to withdraw. And we say, well, that's pretty painful. Do I need to put up with that? But it's that love that allows us to stay. And as we withdraw, we don't get help for those rough edges in our life. That's that first love that allows us to stay and allows us to exhort. There could be a lot more said about exhortation. Do we have enough love to exhort and to spend time in listening to hearts that are hurting? You know, we become so distracted by things. And things that we once loved, if a child, let's just use an illustration of a brand new toy, there's just a lot of excitement about that. But as time goes on, that tends to diminish. Are we distracted by other things that have won our hearts to where our first love is not God and the things that God loves? What happened at Ephesus was that Paul warned them night and day, and that was in chapter 20, in his farewell speech there. He said, I warned you night and day. They didn't take a break and just, but they, that exhortation, that fellowship, was a continual thing. So first love Christians. They're teachable, have a high regard for truth. They're radical in dealing with sin. They impact their communities, surroundings. They love God by loving His people. Challenge for my life. Is my first love? Is my first love the things that God loves? Let's kneel and pray. God, we thank You for this beautiful Lord's Day. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for each heart that's here this morning. Lord, I just pray that You would help us to have our love for You, for the things that You love. Help us to have that love burning in our hearts. And I just pray that You would bless this congregation, bless the leaders here, bless each one. Just pray that You would help us to be faithful and carry on until You choose to call us home. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.